Welcome back. Let's get to work here. We have our nightly report with Dr. Henry Nyman, Ph.D., one of the world's top virologists. And if you don't know about Henry, his work goes all the way back to and including the SARS outbreak 17 years ago, where he worked with the top Chinese virologists and scientists trying to decipher that one. They never made a vaccine for SARS, in case you didn't know. It kind of went away. It came back a second year, but didn't do much, and then just vanished. So no vaccine has been made. The statistics I see, again, about vaccine production point to around 18 months to get something that is reasonably well tested. In this case, call it 12 months. Let's just say a year. It doesn't matter. Looking at the headlines again quickly, as we have hospitals around the U.S. now beginning to fill up already, and this thing hasn't even gotten started. They're making triage assessments on patients coming in. In Italy, they are no longer treating anyone over the age of 60, especially in the northern part, in Lombardy, in Italy. 743 deaths in one day in Italy, right? They're saying now that the Italian coronavirus cases are likely 10 times higher than they're being reported. 10 times. 4,800 plus Italian healthcare workers are infected. Those healthcare workers are out of the game. Many of them are going to become sick, permanently damaged probably, and never return to work, at least not anytime soon. Certainly more than a few will die. It's grim. And that is what we're facing here. Italy is moving to the U.S., or the U.S. is bringing Italy here. We've got the same basic strain of the virus. It is running rampant through the country. One projection today said that there might be close to 1 million Americans already infected. Nobody knows. Over 50 priests have been killed by the virus in Italy, just FYI. Some of the stats around the country here in New York City, 25,000 cases, 210 deaths. California, 2,200 cases, 42 deaths. Georgia, 1,026 cases, 32 deaths. Louisiana, 1,388 cases, 46 deaths. It goes on from there. I just put a few of the big ones up in headlines for you. But do take a look at them, all right, and understand. There are also reports that the coronavirus has maintained its integrity, so to speak, viability, in the cabins, many of the cabins in the Corona Princess, the cruise ship, for 17 days now after everyone has vacated it. They've gone back in and they still find viable virus. Harvard University's president and his wife are infected now. There you go. A lot of things going on. The shortage of ventilators and protective gear for healthcare workers is an outrage and will go down in American history as one of the greatest failures of government that there ever has been. You wait and see. Trump refuses to this moment to order the mass production of the things we need to help meet this virus head on. Henry, welcome back. Thanks for being here, as always.
Well, Jeff, it's good to be back. I think things are actually taking shape on how things are evolving and where they're going and what caused what, so to speak. And they're starting to crystallize because the a lot of sequences have been released, and there are these outbreaks now that are included in the ones that you just read off. And it's becoming a little clearer why they're having the outbreaks where they are. And those outbreaks are projected to strain the health delivery in those areas in the next several days. They're going to run out of beds and ventilators. There's, you know, no planning. There's no coordination. There's different programs to kind of limit travel, you know, shelter in place type things, and they're scattered, so you know they may work locally, but they may not last because other areas in the country are just ignoring and creating new waves of virus, which are spreading out from where they were created. And that's essentially what happened in Europe, in Italy in particular, that really infected Europe and then infected the eastern states. And when it was coming here, we were, you know, looking in Wuhan, and right. People that were coming from Italy were not tested. They were not tracked. There was nothing to limit the spread of that virus. It went to major cities in the east, including New York. And some of these could actually be traced to specific events. And there was a fashion show in February in Milan that brought a lot of virus back to New York, probably the West uh-huh. Coast also. Uh-huh. There was Mardi Gras down in Louisiana. That's why New Orleans has the highest death rate in the world right now. This is directly related to Mardi Gras. That's why they had 40, I think they're up to 44 deaths, and most of them within the last several days. And there's another big outbreak near Detroit, and they're worried about running out of ventilators up there. And
they'll be out in a few days, dear friends. Yeah, by next week, they'll all be out of ventilators. No. New York City needs 30,000. They've got 7,000. All right, do the math.
Right. Right. And number two in the country is now New Jersey. So New Jersey has moved uh-huh. well past California and Washington. They added almost another 1,000 today and 1,000 yesterday. Wow. They're almost up to 4,000. And they're up to, I think they had 17 deaths today. They're up to, I think, 44 deaths. And they're going to be related to New York. And the sequences from New York shows from Italy. And I think this, you know, strain from Italy is just more virulent. It's running through Europe, and it's running through the United States. And the remarkable thing is WHO is now saying that the U.S. is going to be the world's epicenter for coronavirus. We are going to be number one. If we don't make number one on Friday, we'll do it on Saturday. By Monday, we will have more virus than any country in the world and more confirmed cases than any country in the world. And the day after, on Monday, that's when Trump wants to go ahead and say, oh, our 15 days are up. You know, it's time to get back to work, and now he's kind of modifying it now. He had another press conference today, and he's saying, well, wouldn't it be great if we were back in full speed ahead by Easter, when all these churches are going to be packed full of people?
It's unbelievable.
And so he's kind of stretched it out. He wants to have, you know, everything kind of lifted and eased back into play, and have the economy going full steam ahead by Easter, and have all and hold services per usual. You know, not a problem here. I mean, this guy sounds like he's in charge of Jonestown. You know, it's ridiculous. Nobody's going into the churches. Nobody's drinking his Kool-Aid. He's just blowing. Well, you can say whatever you want. He's
blowing smoke.
But nobody's gonna listen to him. And the press conference was just ridiculous. I mean, he has this fantasy. I mean, he's up there talking. He's in another universe. It has nothing to do with reality. It has nothing to do with the virus.
I can't watch them. I really enjoy hearing about these from you. Thank you for sharing. I can't look at them. I'm too sick.
Well, this one was pretty short. Like I said, the reporters that are going to give him a hard time are not in the room. and he didn't have as many people up with him, and he didn't take that many questions. It was actually pretty quick. He really didn't say much. I mean, he gave a few examples of things that he was sending out or companies that were agreeing to make X amount.
And those companies are coming to him, Henry. I want to point this out. He is not ordering anybody to do anything.
No,
he's saying, oh, yes, and they're coming to me. They're coming to me, and I'm trying to do this.
And they're going to do it on their timetable, and they're going to go ahead and you know, do it at what rate works for them, and there's no coordination, and they're gonna, it's gonna be like everything he does. It's gonna be too little, too late. It's just like his bands, you know, he's gonna block the virus from coming way after it's already here. And now he's gonna order, masks and,
I haven't seen him order anything. Maybe you have. I haven't seen him order anything.
He says he is.
He still has not invoked the DPR. He will not invoke the DPR.
No.
There are 20,000 ventilators in the National Reserve, and Cuomo wants all 20,000 of them. He needs 30,000.
Right.
He's got 7,000.
He's sending them four. He's sending them two and two. He's sending them 2,000 a day and 2,000 tomorrow. But
they ought to make Trump go around and pick up the dead bodies. Let him work that detail for a while.
Four isn't going to be enough, and he's going to be inundated. And New Orleans is going to need him. Detroit's going to need him, and they're all going to need him within a week or two.
May I make one other point? This is important.
New Jersey's going to need him.
Yeah, one other point here.
Go ahead.
He told, and I want all of you to remember this, a week ago, a little more, he told the governors basically to go to hell. Go get your own PPEs. Get your own medical equipment. And the governors went around desperately looking to find lots of these items to purchase, to make a bid on. What did the federal government under Trump do? He outbid the governors and bought up most of these things. This is insanity. He outbid the states to get these invaluable, priceless, life-saving medical supplies that are needed. He outbid the states, the federal government. Anyhow, go ahead. That just really just is nuts.
Right. There's no planning. There's no centralized, you know, organization to basically distribute the good, to get the goods made, and then to distribute the goods in a timely manner. This is like Puerto Rico. he's gonna send aid for the hurricane. You know, a year later they're still waiting for it. You know, all he can do is throw paper towels. I mean, it's ridiculous. The guy is just a bumbling fool who sits around and watches TV or goes and plays golf, and that's what he does. And or goes to rallies. And now he can't do rallies. He holds press conferences. They're just rambling nonsense. They're not even going to carry him anymore because he doesn't say anything. They're just his propaganda machine. He is the worst person in the world to be in charge of a pandemic. And now he's trying to downplay the pandemic. So you go back on the beach again. There's a company, well, there's probably more than one, but there's one company in particular that's been in the news lately that basically has smart thermometers, and they basically, you know, connect via Bluetooth to your phone, and they can download them to the company, and there's like a million of them are out there or so. And so they get and everybody takes their temperature each morning, and then just, you know, downloads it and it goes back to them, and they get all these data points on what essentially taking the temperature of America in real time. And they, it looks like they did it originally to track the flu. And so, you know, they could see where the flu was or flu-like conditions. I mean, everything's just based on temperature. Based on, you know, who was running a fever and when it started and where they were all located, you know, because they probably know their physical location, you know, based on the tracking also. And they have this database, and they've been doing it for a couple of years, and they kind of know what flu looks like, and they know that they can recognize the pattern as to who's got a, what kind of clusters they are, how long the temperature's elevated. You know, they feed all this into algorithms that they have to kind of analyze the data. And they say that they can track COVID now. And they can subtract out the flu, the temperatures due to the flu, and see what's left, and track outbreaks of COVID. And they have used this to take a look at whether these social distancing, you know, SIP programs, shelter in place, are actually having an effect. And so they have real time data. They can see what the population looked like.
Right.
Initially, they can see when orders were went into effect as to limit movement, and they can monitor what kind of effect that has on the temperature of that affected population. And they've done it, they gave a couple examples, and it looks like it's actually working, that they can show the temperature kind of starting to rise, and then they put in the shelter in place, and then the temperature starts to level off, and then it starts to drop. And it's all, you know, within a few days of implementing the shelter in place program. And so it looks like it is having an effect based upon their analysis of the people that are in that area and what their, you know, overall temperature looks like, and how it's behaving. And the curves were actually pretty impressive. They did it in a couple locations, and then they showed this outbreak in Florida, and Florida was lit up all over the place. And the lighting up of Florida corresponded to spring break. So when all these students went down there, they were all out on the beach, they were all in close contact, they were passing COVID around, you know, SARS-CoV, and then they all started getting fevers. And so they lit up Florida. And then, you know, what happened after that? Well, they closed the beach, and spring break was over, and they just kind of took all their COVID with them and went back to wherever they are from and just spread that virus all over the place. And that's apparently the same thing happened in New Orleans from the Mardi Gras. New Orleans has the highest fatality rate in the world right now. And so in the last several days, they've had a bunch of deaths. And that kind of corresponds when Mardi Gras ended, you know, about 3 weeks ago.
Spring break, Mardi Gras, and a good time was had by all.
Mm. Right. And this fashion show in Milan in Italy
that too
brought the virus in. And so basically what was happening was, and I mentioned this yesterday, that it was right around February 21st is when the virus started showing up in all of these other countries in Europe. And that's when the virus was running rampant in northern Italy, the Lombardy region. And they had all these skiers that went there for skiing vacations, and they had various school groups that went there, visit Italy, and they just came back with the virus, and there was no no monitoring, no checking out, no contact tracing. It was just here, and it was just moving right along and spreading out. And that's essentially what these sequences are showing. There's a limited number of ones in the U.S., but there's quite a few that have come out in these other countries that were affected by that. So there's sequences from Nigeria, sequences from South Africa, from Brazil, from Mexico, from Canada. They've all got Italian sequences. And so
I think the Argentines do as well.
Right. They just seeded the whole area. They seeded mm-hmm. South America, North America, and Europe. And now, and there's actually something in Australia. And they're just kind of starting to take off. And that's why Italy has these high numbers. And, you know, the 743 that you mentioned today, that broke the trend. You know, what had happened is the high happened on Saturday. It was 793. Mm-hmm. And then it was a little lower on Sunday. It was 651. And then yesterday it was 601.
601 yesterday. That's right.
Yeah, right. And people looked at that and said, well, maybe it's peaked. You know, it got up to 793. Yeah, that was the all-time high. And then it was lower, and then it was even lower. And then today it was 743. So it was second highest it's ever been. And doesn't look like it peaked. And so it's still going on in Italy. And now Spain is catching up. Spain had 680 cases today. So not cases, 680 deaths today. So Spain is right behind Italy. Spain is behind us now. They've got 42,000 cases, and they've got almost 7,000 deaths. I'm sorry, they've got 3,000 deaths. They've got 2,991. And they're right up there. I mean, they're right behind Italy. You know, they actually are still a little bit behind China, but they'll pass China tomorrow. They've got 2,999. China's got 3,281 on the death. So tomorrow they'll have more than 300 deaths, and they will be in second place behind Italy. And unfortunately, the U.S. will likely pass both of them because the U.S. is starting to ramp up. You know, yesterday it was a big deal that the U.S. had over 100 deaths in one day. And today they've got like 190 deaths. They were almost at 200 deaths. This would be the highest they've ever had in a single day. And it goes up each day now. And New York, you know, gave its update this morning, and they basically said, which gave rise to the need for the ventilators and more beds, is that the projection is it's going to peak earlier than they expected, and it's going to peak higher than they expected. And so they're getting into the situation where they've got enough right now, but they don't have nearly enough. Like you said, they needed 30,000 more, and they found 7 that they had, and now the reserve is going to give them 4 more, so they have 11, but that's still not 30.
No, they're way short. 19,000, call it 20,000 short. That means 20,000 people who need ventilation are probably going to die, or many of them will. This is so disgraceful. Yeah. This is incredible. It's, you know, all that crap we went through about impeachment. This is legitimately an impeachable offense, in my view.
Yeah.
The gross negligence here. And the top legal correspondent of MSNBC said negligent homicide is an easy conviction in this case. That's what he said.
Well, they can get him for his new drug now. There's Pittsburgh... Well, it isn't just Pittsburgh. I think they put it out all over the place. But I saw it in Pittsburgh. You know, the poison facility where you call in.
Poison Control Center.
And they put out a warning for Trump's malaria drug. They basically said that it's very easy to take to get a lethal dose if you're a child, and adults can basically get into trouble by trying to treat themselves, and they're starting to get calls on that now.
Do-it-yourself treatment. DIY.
They haven't had any deaths in Pittsburgh, but you know they cited the guy with the aquarium cleaner, and that was a death. But apparently, just taking the medication and not under the without the supervision of a physician is mm-hmm. dangerous. And enough people saw Trump say this is a wonder drug. It not only is for treating COVID, it is for preventing it. So people are taking it. They don't have anything right now, but they're doing this as a preventative, and they're getting into trouble. And I think that this poison control network has put out this warning, and it showed up here in Pittsburgh, but I heard it was in New York also, and it's probably all over the place. And it just went out today because they're getting people that are calling in and getting into trouble and having to go to the emergency room to get treated for these overdoses. So, I mean, that's another example where Dr. Trump is basically, you know, medicating the entire nation and putting them in the hospital, literally. But, the whole, you know, effort for the pandemic, number one, is to respond way too late on everything. I mean, even Fauci said, you know, you got to kind of, you know, it's kind of like shooting, you know, geese or whatever. You have to kind of lead them a little bit or throwing a football. You have to lead. And Trump does just the opposite. He doesn't show them where they throw the ball, where his receiver is. He throws it where he was. He throws it behind him. He doesn't lead him at all. And you know, he's going and trying to block it from coming from Wuhan when Wuhan's totally shut down and there's nothing coming from Wuhan. And he's saying, oh, we can't test anybody from Italy because, you know, Italy's not in China, and that's where all the virus is. And so the whole idea of preventing it was a joke. That, you know, I said it every time he came up with a new blockade, it was well into the too little, too late category. And now the U.S. going to number one, now that they're starting to kind of get up to speed on testing, it's just going to show how lame his whole approach was. Everything was after the fact. It really didn't have any effect. And now we not only are going to be number one, we're probably going to end up being number one for the Italian version. I'll end up with more of it than Italy has because we've got a larger population and it's essentially spreading like wildfire. And so there are all these fires to be put out, and he's not planning ahead again. He's going, he's hearing, well, it sounds like New York is going to have a problem. And New York isn't even getting a full appreciation. They're saying, well, maybe you can rotate these. You know, you can send the ventilators here and we'll mm-hmm. kind of get things under control. And then, you know, you can take them and move them somewhere else. But the problem is these other locations are, you know, within days of New York.
To announce that America is going back to work, it was never constructed to be put on the blocks. We're going back to work on Easter. It was supposed to be next Monday, but he put it off till Easter. When Donald decides to order America back to work, tell us what's going to happen.
They're all going to just say, you can go to work, but, you know, the governors are in charge of what each state is doing.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with what Trump does. And I think that by then, there will be evidence that in some places is starting to work. The problem is, I mean, the problem was so obvious. They were saying, well, you know, there's it looks like the hot spot in the country is New York. And they're having all of these cases and they're, you know, it's like 1 in 1,000 are already infected and is spreading very quickly. And they have all these problems. And he wants to go ahead and go back to work by Easter. And the argument is, well, it's kind of uneven, you know, that even though some places like New York, they've got a lot of cases and, you know, it doesn't seem like it's going to be under control by Easter. But there are other places in the U.S. where they're really not in trouble right now. They've got lower levels of virus. And, you know, those are the types of areas that, you know, maybe we can make some adjustments and start going and going back to work. And it is really is a manageable thing.
How are they going to go back to work? Henry, how can they go
hold
back
it,
to
hold
work?
It, hold
they,
it.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
And they go, they say, well, you know, where are these places? These are kind of like in the Midwest type of thing. I mean, there's certain areas where there isn't as much virus.
Right.
And
right.
They say, yeah, we're looking at it and making sure there isn't hidden virus there. And it wasn't because they didn't test. And in many cases, because they didn't test. You know, and it just looks slow, but it really isn't. And we're analyzing that. And we're going to take a look and see if these places are really lower than other places like New York. And then
they have to test to do that.
And then they say to people, well, do you think this is going to work? And they're going to say, well, you've got all of these cases in New York. You've got all of this publicity about New York. You've got all of this publicity about the hospitals are going to be full. You've got all of this publicity about the people older, more vulnerable people that need these machines, these ventilators, aren't going to have them because they're going to run out. And
right.
You know what's going to happen? People are going to leave New York. And they're going to go to these places where there's a lower level of virus. And they're going to
U-Haul
bring the virus
are
gonna
be
with
busy.
Them.
Yep.
Right.
U-Haul trucks,
not,
Penske
no,
trucks
the,
are going to load
up.
Don't
even fly. They would fly down to Florida. But there's probably almost as much virus in Florida now as there is in New York. I mean, these guys... The governor down there, you know, he just figured out that, well, maybe it's not a good idea to keep the beaches open when you have all this, you know.
Maybe not.
College students coming down on Easter break. So you know, I think they went one last weekend or so. So they right. closed them on Monday. They closed them yesterday. You know, after the fact, this is another, you know, horses out of the barn, let's shut the door. So. They're closing the beaches there, and then they're saying, well, you know, they've got all this virus up in New York, and, you know, these snowbirds come down here, and even though it's not decent for them to come down, maybe they'll come down because there's a lot of virus out there. So we're going to require that if they arrive, they have to undergo a 14-day quarantine. And the 14-day quarantine is basically voluntary on the honor system type of a situation. And these guys, you know, don't even understand what the quarantines are. I mean, I just had feedback here in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's kind of, you know, like I said, we were under lockdown. And some of the supermarkets are basically, you know, setting it up so the first 2 hours are between 6 and 8 in the morning. You know, these places are open 24 hours. So 6 and 8 in the morning, this is seniors only. So the seniors can come in and they don't have to worry about the, you know, it being crowded and they're the only ones they're allowed in the store, and so it's not going to be as crowded. They can go ahead and get their shopping done. And I said, these guys have no idea what social distancing means. They're you know, it's basically they're lined up to check out, and everybody's just close to each other, and there's no concept of it. And it would be the same thing in Florida. These guys would say, well, let's see, we're supposed to be quarantined. I'm not sure exactly what that is. You know, they were supposed to call in once a day and say that they were at home or something. But the virus is going to spread if they actually go down there. But the levels are so high in Florida now that people are putting down when they go and they arrive and they've got symptoms and they say, have you traveled out of the country? And I said, no. Well, you travel somewhere in the U.S. where there's a fair amount of local transmission. And I said, oh, yeah, I just came back from Florida. So, I mean, Florida's exporting cases and they're worried about importing cases. And that's the whole idea, that there may be a little bit unevenness in the U.S. at this time, and that unevenness is going to just totally disappear, because if they start to get these locations where the levels are very high and they've already got them sheltering in place and the people figure, well, they want to get out of there because if it's that high, there's a reasonable chance they're going to get infected. And then if they can't get treated in the hospital, they should go to a place where if they do get infected, at least they'll have beds available and they'll have ventilators available. And they'll go to places where, you know, at least on paper, it looks like they've got a lower level of virus, and they'll bring virus with them. And, yeah, and Trump wants to keep the airlines flying. I mean, they're talking about shutting down domestic flights. So, you know, if they did that, that might kind of corral the virus to a degree. Although if they really want to leave and there's no planes, they can, you know, hop on a bus or hop on a train.
Well, they got U-Haul. They got rental trucks. People are doing that. I'm being told this. By the way, the only way people could go back to work is if the government had been in mass production and every employee was sent back to work with a mask and goggles, right? And hand sanitizer and clean conditions at work. That's the only way it might work with a minimum number of transmission cases. Otherwise, yeah, forget.
Well, the problem with that is that you can transmit the virus when you're asymptomatic. I mean, the
50% do. That's right.
Right. The only way they could realistically do that would be to get another assay that they don't have yet, which is an antibody assay, and they could screen everybody to see if they've already had the virus. And so the people that would be most eligible to return to the workplace would be those who already have antibodies. And you know, whether those antibodies will be long-lasting or whether they've got protective levels, you know, you'd have to see what the range is and how much antibody people do have, and how much the ones that had asymptomatic and never knew they were infected, what their levels are relative to people that ended up being hospitalized and having a severe case or at least a case with symptoms that were sure cut.
So what's Donald the Easter Bunny going to do on Easter?
He's going to go golf, I would imagine. I don't know. but other than go golf, I don't know what he's going to do. It doesn't matter. Nobody's going to listen to him. The governors are going to determine, you know, who can do what in their state. And, you know, the only thing you can do if you don't like it is move. You know, or face arrest, whatever. So the federal government has no say on who's going to work. I mean, they're already theoretically going to have a package. They're going to send out money in the near term to kind of ease that burden and keep, you know, the buyers buying. And that's not necessarily going to work, though, because there's not a whole lot of job security. And it's not clear how long it's going to last. And the virus do not listen to Donald Trump. They don't care what he says or what he does. Actually, they like what he does. He gives them a lot more freedom than most would. But it doesn't matter what he says. And what he says, what he says is he's in a parallel universe. I mean, the stuff he says, A, doesn't make any sense, and B, isn't true. And C, has nothing to do with reality. And so the pandemic, this is a pandemic. He can't talk down the pandemic. He can't go on TV and say, we're going to beat this. The silent killer. We're at war. I'm the commander in chief. That's music to the virus's ears. I mean, he's the commander in chief. They couldn't depict a better person. You know, this guy is totally inept. All he's trying to do is figure out how to stay in office or how to make money off of the bailout. I mean, those are his two goals. And
well, they're claiming that his approval rating based on his handling of this pandemic is rising. Now, if that's true, and I don't know that it is pretty damn grim when you think about the average American. If that's true, we're in real trouble here.
It may be true now, and Americans tend to rally around if there's a, you know, there's a war.
That's a war president, of course.
Right. But usually their approval rating goes up into the 90s. His goes up into the 50s. You know, for him, that's very high. But, you know, so it's up over what it's been, but it's not up as it would normally be in this type of a situation. And it's going to fade, and it's going to fade very quickly because it's going to be a total disaster. There's going to be shortages. The healthcare workers are start getting sick. Some of the healthcare workers are going to say, this is crazy. We're putting our lives on the line, and we're told to go get a raincoat or goggles at the sporting goods store.
A raincoat.
It's absurd. I mean, he's turned us into a third world country. This is what you used to hear about with Ebola outbreaks. You know, the people were overwhelmed and they, you know, didn't have PPEs, they didn't have gloves, this, that, and the other thing. They're all getting infected.
Yeah.
And that's what he's trying to produce here. I mean, he's doing a very good job because he doesn't plan ahead. He doesn't give orders that the company's got to meet such and such a goal and have X amount made. And it should. And if you just planned ahead a little, you could do all this because these things, you know, especially something like masks, they can make masks. There's no reason you should be out of masks or any of the PPE. You know, the ventilators might be a little bit more complicated and might require a little bit more retooling. But it was clear that this was going to be a pandemic, like in February, you know, early February. The things were already getting out of control.
Easy. And, by the way, the glove makers, those who make the latex gloves, Malaysia is apparently one of the biggest producers of latex gloves. Their companies are actually cutting back on production. Has something to do with economics and the government there. So they're not full bore in making latex gloves. They're going to run out of gloves, too. Nobody's producing anything here.
I know. It's ridiculous because you've got these plants sitting empty now. And, you know, they're not making any cars. I guess the airline people aren't manufacturing. They're more service, but I mean, they're not going to be flying any planes. The people are available, and you know, there's plenty of factories out there that are, you know, becoming idle because things are just
They are idle. We're going to end up with 40 million Americans unemployed. That's idle.
Right. And so the idea that they can't make these things so that, you know, you don't have gloves, you don't have goggles, you don't have even ventilators. I mean, it's ridiculous. And they can put them to work, you know, putting together field tents and put some beds up. And it's all timing. I mean, the virus is on the move. It's gonna, you know, at least in the near term, there's already enough people that are already infected that it's gonna cause a major problem in, you know, a week or two. And the numbers are just going to be skyrocketing as far as who's coming to the medical centers. And they're not going to have the space for them. And then you've got all of these, all of these states where basically they're taking these extreme measures for these, shelter in place type of things where you're not really allowed to go out and about and you're, uh-huh. you know, the social distances are severe. And it looks like that has a good chance of working, but it's not uniform. There's no national program. Each of these is up to the individual states, and some of them aren't participating at all. And some of their residents are listening to Trump and figuring, well, this isn't really, you know, it's kind of like a bad flu season. You know, it's really not that bad. And it's, making a big deal out of nothing. And they really don't have to be that inconvenienced. And they don't really have to worry about it. And if they want to go on vacation, go on the beach, they'll, you know, go on the beach, you know, or they'll find beaches that are open. And so if you do get the virus under control in one area of the country, there's no real travel restrictions. And even if you can't fly, you can still drive or take a bus or, you know, move with a U-Haul. And there's still mobility, especially on the ground. And there's plenty of maps out there. You can figure out where the virus is and where the virus isn't if you're trying to, you know, move and get away from the virus, or if you're just trying to move That's and get right. away from the shelter in place. You know, it's easy to figure out where it's in effect and where it isn't and where it's likely to
go. I don't want to start a stampede, but our county is very fortunate. We only have two cases, and those cases were certified over 4 weeks ago. Of course, the most important point is that they're not recovered. They're still infected. They are testing. They had 30 more tests come back negative yesterday. So we're fortunate here in this particular location so far. But your point is extremely important. By the way, a little note about all those who suffered on the Corona Princess over there in Yokohama. Two more have died from that ship. So
the sequences were, at least the initial ones, the Japanese passengers had a different virus than the American. So the CDC did quite a few of the ones that came to the U.S. and ended up developing. And they had kind of the real basic Wuhan strain. It didn't have hardly any changes at all. And the Japanese had one that was closer to the European version, and they just published another whole series. They'd only done three initially, and then they did a large series of 20 or 30, and they're all essentially the same. So all of the one, and they didn't give this the details, other than they specifically said they were on the Diamond Princess. So it's not clear what their nationality is, but they were probably Japanese, because that's probably who they were.
Haven't heard a word about David and Sally Abel either. We should mention them.
But I think they've recovered. I think they're back in England now. So
did you read that? That's good to hear.
I had heard that, and I'm pretty sure that that's accurate. I hadn't tracked it down for sure.
Well,
rumor has it.
Germany, 4,700 new cases in one day, 28 more deaths in Germany. Just keep in mind that Europe is raging, and we're not necessarily hearing. There's too much news for people to begin to assimilate, let alone for me to try to coordinate here and present, but we're doing our best. Thank you, Henry. We'll be back tomorrow night and do it again.
Okay, very good. Talk to you then. Take care.
Okay, thank you. All right, Henry and I will be back this third hour tomorrow night as we continue to track this. All the stories of, I think, virtually all the stories up there are worth taking a look at. At least read the headlines at Rents so you'll understand what in general is going on. And it's crazy out there. All right, talk to you tomorrow night. Be safe, be well, and continue to try to stock up and prepare. See you tomorrow.